From the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
I was thinking, what quality is it that God saw in them that made them an inductee into the Hall of Faith? What was it? Well, here's what they all had in common. It's not that they didn't fall. When they fell, they didn't stay down. They got up again and again and again and again. Faith, would you write it down? Faith is spiritual resilience.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. You might remember the story of Jacob in the Old Testament. He was a guy who got knocked down over and over and over. There were others like him in the Bible, Job, Jeremiah, even the Apostle Paul. Well, today Pastor Wayne will give us a new definition of the word faith. It's all about spiritual resilience. Here he is with a message entitled, The Faith of Jacob.
Let's take out our notes. We're going to take a look at the lesson that Jacob is going to teach us. And to help me today, I have brought a guest with me. Would you bring out the guest? Well, this is, you probably recognize him right away. Pastor Rod. Yeah. Yeah. He's not quite that tall, but you can see he's a boxer and he's got his belt on and stuff. But he's going to help us as we talk about the lesson that Jacob has for you and me today. Jacob is the son of Isaac, and he had a brother named Esau. Now, Jacob's going to have how many sons? 12 sons. The 12 tribes of Israel is going to come through Jacob. He doesn't know that. The promise was given to Abraham. It would continue through his patriarchal sons, and there would be a great nation. Now, but it didn't seem that way when Jacob first started. He now is subservient to his brother Esau, who Isaac, his father, let Jacob know that I love Esau more than you. He's going to get the inheritance, by the way, not you. He would be driven from his family because Esau was planning to kill him because Jacob stole the birthright from him for a pot of lentil soup. He goes to his father-in-law, Laban, falls in love with Rachel. And Laban says, if you want to marry Rachel, you'll have to serve me for 7 years. He serves him for 7 years. And then on marriage night, he gets up in the morning and voila, switcheroo takes place. And he gets up and hits her older sister, Leah. Now, Leah's in bed and he's thinking, what is going on? Runs to Laban and says, what happened here? And Laban says, well, I'm sorry, you know, in our household, we don't marry off the younger before the older. And if you really love Rachel, 7 years. I already spent 7 years. Oh, that was for Leah. Now you got to do it for Rachel. What? And then he changes his wages. 6 more years to serve after that. And then he has to run because Esau, he heard, is coming to kill him. Wrestles with an angel. Busts his hip. Has 12 kids. One of them is reported to have been killed by a wild animal when in actuality, his own brother sold him into slavery. Just think of this. If you're the youngest in your family and your siblings grab you, kidnap you, and sell you. I mean, Jacob had quite a life of one problem after another. In fact, let's come in on the story. He's talking to Laban and he's complaining. It's at the top of your notes. Would you read it with me? Go. These 20 years I have been with you. By day the heat consumed me. And the frost by night, sleep fled from my eyes. I served you 14 years for your 2 daughters and 6 years for your flock. And you changed my wages 10 times. And if God, the God of my father, the God of Abraham, had not been for me, now you would have sent me away empty handed. Jacob. Jacob got something in common with Moses. Job, Caleb, Jeremiah, even the Apostle Paul. They all went through this. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says. It's not in your notes, but it's in 2 Corinthians. He says this. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. I was stoned. 3 times shipwrecked. I spent a day and a night in the deep of the ocean. I was in dangers from robbers, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness. And I was thinking, what quality is it that God saw in them that made them an inductee into the Hall of Faith? What was it? Well, here's what they all had in common. It's not that they didn't fall, but all of them in common, here's what the element was. When they fell, they didn't stay down. They got up again and again and again and again. Would you write down, here's the lesson that took Jacob a lifetime to gather and learn, and he's going to give it to us today. Faith, would you write it down? Faith is spiritual resilience. It's not that you don't fall. It's that when you do, will you get back up? That's why the scripture says the righteous man falls how many times? But he rises again. That's it. The righteous man doesn't say never falls down. No, righteous man falls seven times. But what? You see, every single one of us are going to get knocked down. There's going to be circumstances sort of like this here. This is a circumstance. You can't plan on it. You don't know when this thing is going to hit you because it just might hit you when someone turns around. But the question is, do you get back up? See, every single one of us are going to have to face this. It's just life. Whether it's the condos or the hotel people, they're fabulous, fabulous people. But it's just a thing of life that we get knocked down. And the righteous man gets knocked down how many times? One, stay down. Two, three, four. How many times? Seven times, buddy. You better get back up, brother. I'll whack you one more time. The righteous man falls seven times but rises again. It was said of Walter Payton, one of the greatest running backs of all time. It was a game and a commentator said, today, ladies and gentlemen, if you add up all the yardage of Walter Payton, he will have run with that football over 5 miles in his lifetime. The second commentator said, that's great, but let me tell you something even more amazing. The first one said, what could be more amazing than that? The second said, statistically speaking, every 3.5 yards, he's going to get hit by a guy twice his size. Bang! He's going to get knocked down. He's going to get up 3.5 yards. Bang! He's going to get knocked down. He gets back up 3.5 yards. Bang! He's going to get knocked down. He gets back up. He does that for 5 miles. That's what makes him one of the greatest running backs of all time. Resilience. It's not that you've never fallen. The question is, do you get back up? Do you learn from it? Or do you just stay down and say, well, I give up if that's how these Christians are. If that's how God's going to treat me. If that is how God loves me, forget it. Now, I need you to understand the importance of resilience that Jacob is going to teach us. Because Jacob had 3.5 yards, and then he got, boom, knocked down. By the way, I love your brother more than you, Esau. And by the way, you're not going to get the inheritance. And then your brother is going to want to kill you. And then you're going to have to flee. And then you're going to serve for 7 years. And then you're going to get hoodwinked, you stupid. And then you're going to have to do another 7 years. And then you're going to have to go 6 years. And then I'm going to change your wages, not once, but 10 times. You see, every 3.5 yards, he gets hit again and again and again. And then, by the way, you better run because your brother Esau is going to come to kill you right now. And then you're going to wrestle with an angel and you're going to bust your hip. And then you're going to have 12 kids and your 11 brother, the brothers, they're going to lie to you and they're going to try to kill their youngest brother. Then they're going to sell him into slavery. You're going to think he's dead. And then after that, you're going to have to deal with 11 loser brothers. They're all bozos. By the way, there's going to be a famine. And you're going to be driven to Egypt. You're going to have to leave your land. and you're going to go down to Egypt and live there in a land of Goshen. But let me tell you something. When you do, if you'll go down there, and if you're resilient enough, it will be in Egypt that I will take a ragtag mob of people and forge them into the greatest nation the world has ever seen. And out of that, they will exodus from Egypt. They'll go into the promised land. And from you will be born the Messiah, through which millions of lives will be changed. You see, if Jacob were not resilient, the promise that was given to Abraham would not come through him. Because see, often we just see the next event. Whereas God sees things from 32,000 feet and he says, I see the beginning from the end. And you don't realize this, but from you will come the Messiah of the world, the Redeemer of the universe. But what if he said back here, if that's the way God's going to treat me, I'm out of here. Do you understand what would have taken place? See, we just look at the convenience for the next day. Sleep for tonight. When God sees thousands of years on either side and wants to use you, you've got to believe that God has a promise for you. God has a promise. He does, sure. It's Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. They're not plans for your calamity, but for your welfare, that you might have a future. A what? A future and a hope. Did you know that in you, if you give up right now, what God wanted to run through you for the next generation or the generation thereafter will not take place. That's why the Bible says, rewind it, the sins of the fathers can be visited to the fourth generation. Why? Because you gave up and what I had promised for your fourth generation. Now I got to figure a different way because you refuse to get up. Faith is spiritual resilience. Every 3.5 yards, you're going to get knocked down. Question is, will you get back up? See, it's not, the question isn't how high do you blow up. The question is, what direction are your feet pointed when you touch ground again? You say, Wayne, why so many times, bang, that he gets hit down, bang, hit down? Why? Because I think, you know, inside there's certain character flaws, certain things that will disqualify us from God using us, and he's got to deal with them one at a time to get him out of us. Because you see, in the beginning, when he said, I'm sorry, I love Esau more than you, his self-esteem was going to be tested. And then his jealousy would be tested. His need to control or be in charge is going to be tested. His impatience next. His greed next. His lust next. And when God deals with all of those, and it may take a while, then he's saying, okay, now you're going to go to Egypt. It's all right. Jacob says, I know, because you've learned patience and you've learned trust along the way because you were willing to be resilient. And now watch what I'm about to do. See, some of you are ready to give up, but you say, where's faith? I remember I was learning to do some weights. And so I actually hired a trainer for a while so I wouldn't hurt myself and make sure that I'm lifting correctly and building correctly. So I hired a guy and he said, okay, we're going to work on bench presses to work on your pectoral muscles. And so I laid down horizontal on this bench and he put just a few weights on this, a bar, 400, 500 pounds. And so he said, okay, let's lift this and just go ahead and start the reps. We're going to do 12, 15 reps here. And so, did you ever notice that coming down is super easy? You know, it's the opposite way. And so I push, and by the first 10 or so, it's not too bad. The 11th started getting a little tougher. 12, and he's standing, saying, now push, push. And 13, push, push. And you notice around 14, your whole body starts to vibrate. I don't know what's going on. It's just starting to vibrate. And he's saying, push, push. I'm saying, help, help. What do you mean, push? And he said, push, 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 come on. And so I finally get it up. He says, good, one more. Woom. And I'm pushing and I'm vibrating like crazy. And I'm saying, help, help, I'm going to die. And he says, no, push. And this is what he said. Now you're building muscle. Now. I said, what do you think the last 13 was? Fake? No, he says, no, now. Because see, now you're tearing down the muscle cells that wouldn't be competent enough for larger amounts of weight. Those things are going to get torn off. It's going to be displaced and new ones are going to grow in their place. Right now, you're building muscle. I said, well, could you help me build muscle, please? So you know what he did? He could have just grabbed the bar, put it on, but instead, he didn't even give me a hand. He gave me a finger. I wanted to give him a finger, but I didn't. He put his finger there like this, and he just pulled it. Good, push. And you know what? He gave me just enough strength so that I could accomplish that push, because he says, now you're building muscle. If he did this and put it on the bar, I wouldn't have built anything. But he just gave me enough so that by his strength, I was able to accomplish this. See, sometimes when we say, by God's strength, we just think as Christians, oh, I don't have to do anything, just kind of do squat. No, you're going to be shaking, you're going to be vibrating, you're going to do everything you can to push and do what God's telling you to do. And God, by his finger, is going to help you to overcome by his strength. Does that mean you don't do anything? Oh, no. Because now you're building muscle. Now you're building faith. See, some of you are at that 3.5-yard marker. Bang! And God says, now get up. I can't get up. I'm tired. Now you're building faith. Oh, what do you think I've been doing in church so far? Just practice. Because you see, you're going to get inspired in church, but it's out there when you're lifting the weights at home, when you're getting stuff done, or someone cuts you off and you get a setback of some kind. And God is saying, now you're building faith. Now you're building faith. Well, what about all the rest? Oh, that was good. But that just got you ready for this rep right now, because now you're building faith. Well, help me. I will. And by my strength, you will overcome, but I'm not going to take it away from you. But by my strength, you will overcome. Do you understand that? You got to catch that. Otherwise, we get this mamsy-pamsy kind of view of Christianity, and it's not biblical at all. Yes, you're a part of that. You're partnering with it. You're doing everything you can. And God is saying, you keep going. You got to be resilient, because you're going to get nailed down. You're going to get kicked. You're going to get hurt. And people are going to do that. But you better get back up. And I'll help you, because now you're building faith. It took Jacob a whole lifetime to learn that. But then he gets it. You see, a lot of us have what I call quitting points. On the 10th knockdown, 11th knockdown, maybe it's who that knocks you down. You know, if it's a train or what, but sometimes, bang, it's your wife, or bang, it's your kids. And then you say, forget it. I was in a dentist's office, and there was a Hunter's magazine, and there was a scope with crosshairs in it that was set on a mule deer, almost as if the guy looking through the scope was sitting in a tree stand looking down, because it was at the top of an upper trajectory, but right behind the shoulder blade. And it said, this is where your bullet or your arrow has to enter in order to pierce its heart. I said, that's gross. So I started reading through it, and it had all kinds of different vantage points on different animals, a bear or a mule deer or a white tail or whatever. And it says, this is where, if you're at this vantage point, this is where you have to aim in order to pierce the heart of that animal. And I looked at that and I thought, wow, that's a little gross, but almost as if the Lord right there said, in hell, there's a magazine like this with you on it. And the devil plots your life as to what it will take to pierce your heart. For some of you, it's when this happens by your child or with a spouse. Or maybe it's with your job or with your confidence or lack of confidence. Get up. And the devil knows how to pierce your heart. And you quit. But if he gets you to do that, then the promise that God has for your sons and your sons' sons, the influence that we as a church should have in our community, is all cordoned off. Because we just, if God, that's how he loves me, then I'm out of here. If that's how the churches treat me, I'm done. If that's what they think, then I'm finished. If that's how my wife wants to talk to me, I'm out of here. We all have quitting points. And it's sort of like the devil plots your life. Not only with crosshairs, but with heat evaluators and meters. For example, if on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 is really hot and aggressive, 1 is just nice and placid lifestyle. When the heat gets up to about 6, he says, that's when Joe bails. When it gets to 6.5, that's when Betty gives up. And all of our lives, he's got these things here. And now somebody at school says to Betty, you're a terrible teacher. Well, if that's the way you think, principal, then I'll just find another school. I'm done. Ah, the devil says 6.5. She's pretty consistent. Right at 6.5, she's going to stay down. Now watch this. When he plots the coordinates of your life and when he knows what your quitting point is, on the freeway, with your children, at the supermarket, whatever it might be, there's a certain amount of stuff that you take. I've had it to hear. Oh, good, good, I got it. And the devil's insidious, but there's one quality he has, and it's called he's very patient. He just plots you. Now, once he gets you plotted, he can control your marriage, control your life, control your future, control everything. How? Let's say God wants you to walk this way, and that's the promise over there. And when you're following God, but if he knows your quitting point is at heat number 6, dial it up to 6 and you bail. Watch this. You're going this way. All the devil has to do is get a circumstance. Boom! Brings it up. Boop! To 6. You know what you say? Well, if that's how it is, I'm out of here. And you turn. Because you don't want that. And then I don't want you to go this way, Wayne. I want you to go to that cliff over there. Boom! Well, if that's how God loves me, I'm finished with this. And I turn this way. I start walking this way. And he says, oh, I want you over there. Boom! Well, if that's how she's going to treat me, I'm finished. I'm here. Boom! If that's how my boss thinks, well, he can just fly a kite. I'm finished. And I turn this way. The devil says, now, watch what I'm about to do, because I'm going to rip it all away from him now. See, if he's got your quitting point plotted, he controls everything about you. That's why it's so important for us to do everything we can to be resilient, because it helps you to break through a quitting point so that you will follow Jesus and nobody else. Not the setbacks, not the circumstances, not the 3.5 yards, bang, I'm done. Spiritual resilience is so important because God has a promise and a plan for you, and I wonder how many of us fall short of that. Some of you are at that 3.5 yard marker right now, and God is saying, get up. I will help you. I won't take it away from you. You expect me to remove the weight completely. I can't do that because now you're building faith. If I took it away, you wouldn't build faith. You'd see me as a sugar daddy. You'd see me as a Santa Claus. I'm not. I am the Holy Spirit, the one called alongside to help. And so come, push, push. Now you're building faith. And we'll overcome by the strength of the Lord. But it doesn't mean you just bail out and think that's God. It isn't. Spiritual resilience is something that Paul the Apostle had, Jacob had, Jeremiah had, Caleb had, Moses had. And it took Jacob a lifetime to learn that, and he gives it to you and me. There's going to be times you think it's all done. Just stay strong with Jesus. Just stay strong with God, because he's got more for you. Spiritual resilience. We want to be a people of New Hope that are a resilient people because of our faith. Because God has so much for Hawaii, and he wants to work it through us. So much for your life, he wants to work it through us. Let's be a people that say yes to him. Amen.
You have just heard a message entitled The Faith of Jacob by Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until the same time next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.